give a superintendent a chance to say something, and that's that, but I also know how to control myself, so I won't take too much. It's like coming out of.
Irma?
So, I don't know.
Howard?
But anyway.
Howard.
Howard.
We gotta get going again here.
Let's get.
Can I say yes, ma'am?
What was that about?
That's Howard with his eyebrows.
Kind of weird, right?
I'm going through the gender therapy.
Maybe I look like you.
Oh, wait, I didn't know.
You look like.
My gender therapy's very, very
Okay, we're going to get started again. Just want to check and see if there's anybody else that wanted to offer testimony tonight. If not, Eric, could you come back up? To start our discussion, I wanted to address the letter from the Northeast Coalition of Neighborhoods and ask Eric to, if you can just lay out our plan process today and kind of timelines for us.
Sure. The current schedule has you two more hearings. So next week, next Tuesday at Park Rose, and then the 13th at your usual location. Or sorry, I skipped one. The 29th at your usual location, and then the 13th as a work session / decision making time. So that the December 13th would not be a hearing, but it's deliberation time.
Okay.
The right now the comments are due on that on the 30th, essentially, with the close of the public comment period coming right after your final hearing.
Okay.
So if you were changing that, that's kind of your starting point, is at the end of this month.
Okay. So public comments in our current schedule ends November 30th.
Believe that's true. Is yes, I'm getting nods. Okay. From staff.
And we have the option to change that public or extend it if we wanted to.
Yeah, I believe that's your power as chair or as the committee.
Okay. So I think this just may be an item of discussion for our officers' briefing on Thursday. In fact, that we can talk with staff about the ability to extend it, huh?
Well, the current schedule is designed so that we can begin that council process with the new year. And we're gonna have, of course, some turnaround time just depending on the depth of your recommended changes. So we were targeting the first quarter of 2012 to get to council. And so a slight adjustment in the due date for public comments probably won't completely derail that process.
I think Lisa had a comment.
Because I didn't have my microphone on.
You might want to not open.
Okay, so we'll have a discussion at the officer's briefing, and then at the next hearing, we'll announce what we'll do. Okay. So comments on what we heard today, the Portland plan, commissioners? Chris?
Well, two themes that I want to touch on. One goes to the equity issue and sort of the first panel of folks that we heard. And one thing that resonated for me was with something that I heard at the Regional Livability Summit this year, where the keynote speaker said something that struck me, which is that urgency exacerbates privilege. So as we work on sort of key transformational goals like the Climate Action Plan, if we're not very careful in attaching urgency to meeting those objectives, we can worsen the equity issue rather than help it. So I think we need to be very thoughtful and conscious of, as we try and be change agents for how the city works and how the partners come together to accomplish certain things, that and we not let all our other goals get in the way of achieving our equity goals, but that we find a way to integrate them and move them forward together. So I think it's just reinforcement for me that we need to be very, very conscious about how we do that. The other thing I was struck by was the testimony from the Youth Commission and the youth planners, who I thought raised some very good points, but then I contrast that with the written comment we got from Jay Bloom about the aging population. And it just underlines for me that we have to think about a spectrum of ages as the plan applies to sort of the spectrum of different age groups. So we have different issues in different age groups, and it's probably worth articulating that in the plan about how some of these areas might affect the spectrum of ages that we have in our population. It's not a dimension that's really articulated in the plan today, and maybe it deserves some articulation.
Sort of process questions that would be helpful to me going forward, have staff think about. One of the comments that I heard was basically people talking about more detail in terms of what the plan proposes. So I would be interested in hearing from staff how you sort of approached that in terms of, in general terms, you know, how you decided what you thought would go into this plan versus the detail that would come later on. Because I know we don't want to document that so long, it's not really as nimble and useful as we want for this type of document. So I would be interested in knowing that. And the other question I had about process would be just the sort of the general issue about the action plan items and how specific we want to be with that right now, just to have that discussion. We know we have the different districts that are going to be doing their planning, and in terms of what parts of those action items we might want to consider doing now and what would be things that it might make sense to have the district focus on where they want their priorities to be.
Yeah, I think this relates somewhat to Chris's comment. I've heard goal-based budgeting referred to several times, and it was in the context of the equity goals. And I'm thinking about the Bureau of Environmental Services and thinking about ecosystem and watershed health, and I'm assuming that by goal-based budgeting, we mean to achieve all of the objectives of the Portland plan, that budgeting is not solely determined by issues of equity. For example, I could imagine that there may be a culvert in one neighborhood that is pretty well off, but in reality, that's going to make a huge impact on that particular watershed. So I assume we're looking at both kind of classic concerns about equity as well as issues related to ecosystem health and habitat health and so on and so forth.
Linking the strategies to the annual budget process or goal-based budgeting, it's what we're trying to accomplish in the strategies. If these reflect priorities of the city and our partners, have that reflected in our annual budget choices, knowing that also a good deal of that annual budget is going to maintaining core systems. You know, this is the part on top of that where this sort of enterprise or initiative can be budgeted for.
And that makes perfect sense, and that's why it's really critical that we are as specific as we can in this plan. I think I heard comments, and I agree with them, that when we get down to the five-year actions, the more specificity we have, the better off we're going to be.
My comment... There. My comments are equally connected to the word equity. First of all, I want to say that when I thought about the plan in the main, the word equity just surfaced as the most important part of what I was considering. So seeing the hearing the testimony we heard today, all focused on individuals' definitions of how they saw and wanted to feel included in equity were very refreshing and important. But I think it's also important to recognize that it shouldn't be just an advocacy issue, but should be a term that we extend out to whether neighborhoods get a fair shake and street treatment and things like that. That we want to be careful equity is as broad and as inclusive as possible, which makes me want to support Chris's comment about Jay Bloom's concerns. Being a member of Jay Bloom's constituency, the seniors, I too feel that is a little bit short in looking at how we want to treat the planet as part of equity. So my main comment is, let's make sure that term, which I'm thrilled to see is the centerpiece of what we're doing here, is a very broad and comprehensive term and doesn't narrow itself just to particular issues that are terribly important, but that are not maybe comprehensive enough to include that word equity when we're talking about a plan for the whole city.
So I think that my comment, a couple of comments that I have, I took notes on everybody that spoke and saw a couple of common themes in some of the things that people spoke about tonight. In more than one occasion, people were very positive about the process, and I was really glad to hear that because this has been a long process. And as a member of the community in Portland, I know I have been given many, many opportunities to participate in the different conversations and the different pieces to the Portland plan, especially around the area of thriving youth and education. So it was really good to hear the Schools Uniting Neighborhood folks talking about the fact that Sun Community Schools, as a best practice, is mentioned liberally in the plan. It is not a matter, in that case, of reinventing the wheel. That is a wheel that works, and it works very well. And I hope it's something that we continue to work on in the Portland plan in the near future and then in the far future. One thing I know that would help me as a commissioner, and it was not something I heard a lot tonight, and I don't know how to get the word out, is kind of a lack of specificity in the testimony. It would be really, really helpful as commissioners, I think, to hear very specific feedback about this plan, kind of along the lines of what Commissioner Smith said earlier on. I think that a lot of comments are made fairly broadly, either in favor of what they see or not in favor. But still, in order to go back and really make meaningful change to this plan, I just hope that people will come prepared. Maybe they can make a few comments and then give us something written so that we can actually work on some specific changes instead of almost kind of really global comments. That's what I think.
So glad the students came this evening. I always find their testimony so compelling, and so kind of on target. And I hope we could. I wish we could have them come more often and talk to our commission. One thing and this might be a case of me being guilty of not doing enough reading here. I'm keenly interested in the neighborhood hubs. You know, we've talked about that as a little bit as a commission, but those really become anchors of our neighborhood plans and what we're going to be doing around the city. And one size doesn't fit all. Therefore, you know, not all the hubs would be the same. And so I'm keenly interested in hearing about what are the elements of these hubs? What would make them successful? And, you know, what can the city do to make them successful? And what are people's perceptions of these hubs? So that's something I'm interested in, because the hubs seem really tangible to me. I'd like to have one in my neighborhood, you know, but first I want to know what it is. and so, you know, that's kind of, and it's probably described, and I'd like to hear more about it as we move forward. Thanks.
I just wanted to build on what Karen was saying about specificity. And, you know, I found the testimony around the equity and the support for the equity concentration really valuable. But there was one kind of cautionary piece of testimony, and I didn't catch her name, but she was from the Center for Intercultural Organizing and was talking about, in the context of the Healthy Connected Neighborhood, how the equity issues there sound to her. I think the word she used was vague and hollow. And you know, I think kind of diving into that specificity a little bit more and having, as we go through the work sessions here, having a little bit more dialogue around the issue of equity, what it really means, how it plays out, would probably be valuable for the process.
Yeah, Ms. Knight, you mentioned that. You know, the reason I asked asked her to be more specific is she said something that I think was very unrealistic when she mentioned housing and that every person of color should have an opportunity to live in whatever neighborhood they choose. We all know that's unrealistic. You can't live in the West Hills if you've never bought a house before, even right now in the economy that we have. And I think that we have to be very careful that the equity terminology is really understood. And the way I understand it now is the great presentation that Joe and Sam put forth, you know, it's about equity in the hubs and the neighborhoods. Watershed, the sidewalks, transportation, schools. So we have to be very careful that people do not have unrealistic expectations of what the plan means. You can't live in certain parts of the city, neither can I. I can't afford it. So I'm just using that housing example as just a reality check. So I hope that people don't come with unrealistic expectations of what equity means to them and what they're going to be able to gather from the plan. That's why that was more my concern for her on specificity. Does that make sense to you guys? Yeah, we have to be realistic. There are certain things that the city can't do.
Well, the only thing I'd say to that is I think that maybe a goal towards trying to ensure diversity of housing types or of affordability in neighborhoods could be and should be and I think is a goal to do more of, so I do agree that we do want the plan, the expectations to be reasonable because otherwise people will be, disappointed, but also we want to be aspirational for this kind of what we would like to see the city be.
Yeah, Joe, we had a housing discussion where we discussed the last affordable housing project to go into, like, for example, the Pearl, was the Ramona building. And I asked, I think it was the staffer from PDC, and there's no funding for projects in that area. And that's what I mean about being realistic on some of the things the city can actually do.
But there are tax exempt tools rentals that can be used to locate housing. And those should be used by the city in areas where normally that housing doesn't get built, rather than stacking them in areas that where there's just an overwhelming inventory of it.
This isn't on this point. I just want to acknowledge publicly that I have finally let go of the of one of the six, the original six strategies, one of which was urban greening, and that as I heard the testimony, I actually think we have moved in the right direction, especially when I contemplated the opening presentation being an hour rather than a half an hour to go through all six. And I think that staff has done an excellent job. Just I have to get this off my chest. An excellent job of integrating the ecological and the human health concerns in that healthy connected city. And I feel really good about it at this point. And I think, in fact, when I think about the urban green hanging out there all on its own and not being integrated would not have necessarily been the right way to go. So I'm pretty pleased, and I think I heard that reflected in some of the comments tonight, Noel Dobson's in particular and others. Good job.
Mike, I'd like you to know that my friends in transportation think that when we integrated the transportation and greening strategies, transportation got the short end. So
good. As it should be.
Karen?
One other comment I wanted to appreciate tonight from the testimony, also from the first bank of people that testified, was there was a comment I wrote down that said that an equity filter and tool should be used to allocate resources. I was kind of fascinated by the idea of equity tools and criteria, and I think that when we had our last presentation by the Housing Bureau, they talked about using a set of tools, and I was just really fascinated by that concept of having a devised tool for the bureaus to determine whether or not equity had been achieved in the different bureaus. What a conversation to have, and I don't really know city stuff very well. I mean, I'm getting better at it, but as the time goes by, but I would doubt that maybe 10 years ago, maybe people were talking about equity tools. I don't really know, maybe they were already, but I've heard it over and over and more often used as almost kind of a device for making sure that when we are doing transportation and when we are building housing and working on economic development, that there is this filter that's being used by the different bureaus. And when they give a report to like the East Portland Action Plan and you see the geographic tracking of the allocation and the resources, it's really kind of exciting. Well, the information's not exciting, but the fact that people are actually doing it and sharing it and kind of opening themselves to criticism about it, I think is really on the right track. And I heard that a couple of times tonight. I hope that's something that we pursue in the development of this plan.
Yeah, Andre, if I could add on to that, discussion of the tools, it was really interesting for us as well, and was talking to the representative from the Urban League after testimony, and that'll be available to all of us sort of as a best practices kind of set of research by the end of the year. When you look at the implementation of the Portland Plan, one of the big tasks that initially probably is following to the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability is the helping to develop or marshal selection of or use of these tools and spreading that into bureaus, getting it into the budget process. It'll have other owners once it gets there, but it's here as a recommended action. It's going to fall on us to get it launched and get it going. And so it's good to hear that that research is out there that's going to help us do that. And making that particular lens relevant to even our central city work and all the other work we're doing is a need right now. The other one that's like that is the action in the plan that refers to a health lens as well. And so there's work at the county starting to formulate what that might be. There's some models out there. And once again, that's going to fall on us to help pull that together and get it into our projects and to other city decision-making processes. So when Michelle, you were asking about all the commissioners were concerned about the specificity of action, that's an illustration of the specificity is best expressed that's what somebody has to do. I can't tell you 100% what that set of tools are or how it gets done, but there's a responsible party to take on that task and move it forward. And I think a lot of the actions in the plan are kind of that nature. There could be some that are much more place-specific or project-specific, and we'll come back to you with like how we would parse that to be able to choose how specific one goes. But the idea, too, that even this lift around the equity tools and the health tools is not a small lift. Like, that's a big piece of work because it's convening and deliberating and getting technocrats to really understand it. And it's also, you want it to be meaningful, right? This is not just an exercise. So as we go through the plan, the exercise of triaging some of these actions, because, you know, there may be too much in here, and focusing on things like that you don't know specifically what it means to do that, but doing that seems to be a critical step, and it's the charge of whoever the lead is on it to go figure that out. That's really helpful in focusing the plan, even though the specific action itself might not be so specific.
So following up on the tools discussion and Karen's points, I want to reflect a little bit about the city budget process. The mayor saw fit to appoint me as a citizen budget advisor. I'm not quite sure why. I think he was punishing me for something. But having watched the process for a couple years now, I am really intrigued by the capacity of the Office of Management and Finance to take the Bureau budget submissions and tear them apart and make recommendations pro or con on decision packages. And you know, I think that if we can articulate those tools and particularly the metrics in the plan and give those to the technocrats in OMF, they're going to be able to map how we make sure that the way we spend money actually moves us towards these goals. I think I see the capacity there to do that, and if we can make the connections for them on how to translate the policy into the metrics, they can be a really valuable tool in achieving these objectives.
Yeah, and Chris, they're actually a willing partner now. Right. And each of these, just from watching how the original budget mapping exercise went last year, it was crude, but they pulled it off. Each of these are a refinement as we try to use them every year. So that's part of it, is it's important. These tools are important. Use it, bringing the lens in. We're going to start someplace, and it will continue to improve.
Yeah, Professor Bates is not here, but I did want to make a comment, I guess maybe to moderate my last comment. She did make a statement that I found interesting from the perspective of having been engaged in conservation issues in the city for 40 years, actually, that we've already made, she said, we've already made the changes that we need to make to have a sustainable future from a conservation, from an environmental perspective. I would really challenge that. She said that in the context that we need to do the same for equity that we have done for environmental issues. And there is no question, I'm not challenging, that equity is way behind the curve and that we need to do everything we're saying we're doing in this document. But it has not been that long in the city of Portland and in this region that it has been acknowledged that there is a place for nature in the city, that we do need to protect natural resources inside the urban growth boundary, that it's not about protecting that stuff out there. So we have a long ways to go. We've made some great progress, and I'm looking to this plan to get us to the next level from an environmental conservation perspective, as well as addressing the issues of equity that we need to get to.
Before, I know the young people have gone home, but I think it speaks to the importance of having these types of meetings in community spaces, that they were able to come and participate. And it speaks also to the youth adult partnerships that are successful at getting youth voice to participate in public processes and really get their priorities and voice out here. So I really enjoyed that tonight, and I hope we see that more at Park Rose next week. Just to echo some of the things, and really, I hope that more people come out next week and the next couple weeks to talk about how other bureaus besides planning and sustainability will take a lead role in distributing, allocating resources that will help meet these strategic goals. Because, you know, all the disparity slides that we saw in the beginning, we know that Portland, Multnomah County is, the communities of color face huge disparities in education, health, we know all that. Yet how do we as a city really get to the work of making sure that those disparities disappear? We have to put money towards it. We have to put people into positions of power that they can make the right decisions that supports everybody. And all bureaus have to get involved. It's not just this planning document that's gonna take it to the next level. Those partnerships are really key. So in the next few weeks, I would just encourage everyone out there who's involved in Portland Public Schools at the county level to really give us their opinions about what this document really, really means to them and how the action steps in 5 years, 25 years will really look at your own school in your own neighborhood, because we need that input. So.
In response to that, I just wanted to mention that we did ask other city bureaus to submit their written comments to this group by the end of next week, I believe, was their deadline. So by your third meeting, we should be able to deliver you a package of those comments. And then I'm aware that a number of the other partner agencies are also working on formal testimony, but they just weren't finished by this first date.
I think the thing that I didn't hear today as strongly as I hoped was the economic prosperity connection to get to this equity component, because of the, I think it's a strong component for how do you get a healthy, connected neighborhood along in education, when you talk about incomes, when you talk about housing, you talk about Superfund sites, I mean, and parks, those are all connected to a prosperous economic vitality. And more specifically, how do we translate that back up into these other strategies as creating jobs for the youth? Not everybody's going to go to college, so where's the vocational careers and how do we create those? What does the city bureaus do? Where's the investment strategies? And hopefully we hear some of that in the coming meetings of what people would like to see as we go forward.
I'm concerned about is that you get all these sort of isolated pods that don't have a relationship to each other. And so if mm-hmm. people think there are key institutions or places that it's worth investing in for where we come together more, I'd be interested in hearing about that.
Mm-hmm. I was also just going to mention that the East Portland School District liaison met with the superintendents. And we had a two-hour conversation about the Portland plan, and so it was a very good conversation. I think that the several of the superintendents hadn't really maybe studied up on the plan quite as much, and then had an opportunity to really have a conversation about various aspects of the plan, not just the thriving youth piece, but also on the economic prosperity and affordability and the healthy connected neighborhoods piece and kind of almost all nine elements of the plan and how they affect the families in East Portland. And so there will be a concerted testimony at the next meeting provided by our superintendents.
Great. Howard.
Maybe this is last. Susan, speaking for you, for Joe, for Eric, for Alex, for Deborah, and for everyone who did the work on this, and Marty, and I hope I didn't leave anybody out. This is a remarkable piece of work. And Sam said at the opening, no other city's done this in his knowledge, the way that this city's approached it, but not many cities do approach life the way Portland does. And so maybe this is an opportunity for me, hopefully, to speak for all of us and say just a wonderful, wonderful job, real good job.
You know, really our work was the glue. You know, our job was to bring together the 20,000 comments we got from the public, which were a lot, to listen to you all, to take the knowledge that we got from the people who were on the technical advisory groups. This wasn't a short process. Obviously, it's gone on for 2 or 3 years. And I think we had an opportunity to just have such rich fodder in terms of what went into the plan. So the challenge is really going to be, you know, you all think that you get to get this out, you have a few more meetings, you get to give your recommendation on to council. The real work's going to begin once council adopts, and we're going to need your advocacy to get all of the other partners that are a part of the plan, to get the business community, to get neighborhood groups, to get other organizations, to really be the engine to move this plan. So It is hard. We got to get it right, but we don't want to, have perfection get in our way. At some point here, we need to lock it down, get it done, take it to council. We can evolve over time, but we know there's a lot of hard work here to do, and I'm really looking forward to working with you all as an advocacy group at the budget time, at working with our partners, and so I think that's where we'll be. 6 months from now.
Great. So the next meeting is November 15th,
next Tuesday
at 5:30 at Park Rose High School. And we'll see you there. Thank you. We're adjourned.